So, the book of Romans. So, just kind of giving a little bit of summary and backdrop here. The book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul. And it was written to a Christian church in Rome to explain salvation and how salvation is offered through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, after talking about God's sovereignty in his past dealings with Israel, Paul goes not to speak about God's equity in his present dealing with Israel, but he's going to be kind of talking more about kind of what's happening at that present time and how to understand his word. Now, we could turn to Romans chapter 10. And Paul takes the concept of salvation and he breaks it down. He breaks down the process and shows how salvation works and how a person becomes saved. Now, we're not going to look at all of chapter 10, but a few of the verses. And we can go ahead and start with Romans 10, verse 1. Now, if we look at Romans 10, verse 1, it says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." Okay. Now, skip down to verse 9. In verse 9, it says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raise him from the dead, you will be saved." And then we go to verses 13 through 17. Verses 13 through 17, it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard, and how are they to hear without someone preaching?" So, with these few verses that we just kind of went through, actually, give me a second here. So someone preaching, right? And then if we go down 15 verses 15 through 17, it says, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." So, now, in these verses, okay, that we just read through, we actually have seven stages of salvation. And with these stages, right, the first four items are things that believers do as we transmit the message to other people. That's caring, praying, going, and speaking. Okay. And then that's what we do with unbelievers. Now, the last three components are what unbelievers do as they become believers. Those are transmitters, and that is hearing, believing, and calling. So we have the first four, which is what things believers do as we transmit the message to other people. That's caring, praying, going, and speaking. And then the last three components of what unbelievers do is hear, believe, and the calling. Okay. Now, when it comes to salvation, salvation's a work of God. It's an act of God. If God didn't save you, you're not going to be saved. You're not going to have a Tony Stark Iron Man come and get you. You're not going to have Superman, Batman, and all these other superheroes. If God's not saving you, you're not going to get saved. Now, here's the thing. God's sovereignty predestines, elects, and calls. In Romans 8, verse 30, it reads, "Moreover, whom he predestined, these he has also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he had justified, these he also glorified." Now, it's divine work. But at the same time, it's also human work. Meaning that people become instruments that the sovereign God uses to effect his work. Okay. Now we're instruments. We're not talking about like, you know, hey, I'm a guitar, I'm a saxophone. No, we're instruments, we're tools. He will use us. And sometimes what we're going through, whether it's a trial, storm, or whatever it is, sometimes it's designed for us. But there are many times that whatever we're going through is actually designed for somebody else, whether it's your coworker, your brother, sister, mother, father, child, whoever it may be. Sometimes God will use us as instruments to reach out and touch those. Now, what it's meant by we're instruments, back to what I just mentioned, those obstacles, those trials. And sometimes you might wonder why, or somebody might come up to you and say, hey, if God is such a loving God, why did he allow this to happen to you? Or vice, you know, whatever the case may be, right? And we can go back to what we talked about, how God uses us to reach people, because we are stubborn. And sometimes I may not listen, you know, sometimes we're more likely to listen to a friend from church than our mother or father or whoever. And so God will use whoever he needs to use to reach you. And sometimes we may never truly understand why something happened to us or why we're going to go through those certain situations. Sometimes what we're going through is really just to guide us or protect us and so on. But sometimes it's also to prepare us. And when we talk about preparation, right? It's like sometimes that storm or that trial we encounter is designed a specific way. And when we talk about that storm or that trial is really designed for us to reach our coworker, our neighbor, or whoever, right? Well, that is to prepare us on how to reach them, how to help them, what obstacle they're going through, and God's given you a revelation on how to fellowship with that person and provide love and bring them in. So it's a cooperation between people and God and between heaven and earth. And have you ever thought of it from a human vantage point, right? About evangelism and salvation. God has confined himself to using people to reach other people. And that sounds like an iffy proposition, right? It sounds like we're saying that we're all God's got. Well, apart from the sovereignty of God, that's the truth. But if we don't tell the next generation, the next generation will not hear. Now, some people are gifted with evangelism. They're very effective at it. They can speak very good. They can talk about it. They memorize the verses. They're able to quote the Bible. And that's fine. Some people are gifted with that. But not everybody is called to it. Not everybody has that vantage point. And what I have to share here today is that everyone is called at some point to share their faith with others. And some people may not have the gift of public speaking, but they can be or could be very creative in evangelism and evangelizing. Very creative. And I'm going to give you an example. Okay. So let's just say you have a person with a very great skill set, very good at something. It's not, it may not be public speaking, but very good at something. You know, they're great at arts, crafts, decorating. They're saved and became Christian. Not able to be a good speaker or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be, or, you know, sometimes it's just being able to step outside the box, right? And didn't know how to use that skill to reach people for Christ. And that person would say, well, I don't know how to teach the Bible. But what you don't realize, and what that person doesn't realize, is that their gift of what of arts, crafts, decorating, or whatever a case it may be, brings people together in fellowship. And what happens during fellowship? During that fellowship, whether it is doing crafts or whether it's just sipping coffee or anything like that, it doesn't mean I have to sit there and say, hey, you guys, well, in Romans chapter 10, no. What some of the things that happens in that fellowship is what? We're loving one of another. We're bringing people up in spirit. We're being a support. We're providing some of that caring, some of that being able to be there for them, being Christ-like, coming together. Whether, and even if you start out that skill set at prayer, there's so much blessings that could come out from that example that doesn't involve being a public speaker. And wherever you're at today, think about what you're good at. It's not saying that you're going to step up at a podium, but what is it you're good at? Whether it's at home or it's at work, how are you reflecting? And that is part of not only fellowship, but spreading the gospel, because we can spread the gospel not only verbally, but nonverbally as well, with how we act towards others and what we're doing with others. So with this person, God used her to bring people together. And when they're together, they share what? Stories, what they've been through, and etc. What has God gifted you with? Now, let's examine these stages that lead to salvation. Okay. Caring, praying, going, speaking, hearing, believing, and calling. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, we see here it says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. This is caring. Paul's saying, my heart's desire. He's caring. Notice that Paul's carrying something deep and burdensome in his heart. And you can know a lot and memorize spiritual laws, memorize scripture, but people don't really care about how much you know until they know how much you care. So if you're going to reach a coworker, a friend, or a family member, you need to see them as more. See them as a soul, an internal soul. If they know how much you care, they will listen to the rest. And then also in verse 1, we see after heart's desire is praying. Prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Now it goes from the heart to the knees. He cares and he prays. How many times do we look around at our country, our city, our state, and say, man, we're in bad shape. Man, America needs a revival. Well, when's the last time you prayed for the revival? When's the time that you asked God on behalf of your city, your state, your country? The Bible says you have not because what? You ask not. Yes, God's sovereign. And yes, God's sovereignty, or sorry, sovereignly elects and chooses and predestines and saves. But he does respond to our prayers. Now in verse 9, it says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So Jesus isn't known through philosophy or theology. He's known through what? Childlike simplicity. It's not rocket science. You believe in your heart that he's risen. He died for your sins and is alive. You make a simple confession with your mouth. We don't have to float into space or dig deep in thought. The word is near you. Just believe and confess. Now in verse 14, it says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Now, unless they are sent, okay? Now, sent means or implies somebody is willing to go. Somebody is willing to be sent. Now, this sending isn't talking about a formal kind of ascending where you have a church board sending you. That's fine if that happens. But here's the implication. God does the sending. It's God who sends all of us out. In fact, did you know that the word apostle is simply a word that means a sent out individual? What that means is you're on a mission from God. You have some mission, you have some ministry to fulfill. And Jesus said to his men, his troops, you might say, go into what? All of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, after his resurrection, he said, you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. In another place, Jesus says, as my Father has sent me, so I send you. And then if looking, we already just read verse 14, now in 15, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now, this is speaking. Thinking of speaking, one might think of a pastor. But this doesn't mean that. It's not referring to a pastor behind the pulpit. It simply means one who proclaims means speaker. We're going to have to pull out our story and tell people how we came to Christ because it's part of the good news. So it's not just coming out with, hey, Romans chapter, no, it's your story. How were you saved? What trial, what storm, what deep hole were you in where you reached your hand up and God pulled you out? Seeing our story is part of the good news. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preach to save those who believe. And at some point, you got to speak. You got to tell people it's always necessary to use words. Now, let me ask you this. What if you lived in a small town and you knew that in a few days your town was going to be destroyed by some catastrophe? You had good information that it's a flood, fire, earthquake, something's going to destroy everything. Wouldn't you feel compelled to tell people about how to escape that which is coming? Hey, pack up. We got to go. We got to get the high ground, whatever the case may be. Some people might say, well, God hasn't called me to preach. Well, where in the Bible does it say that? Now, the gospel isn't just words, but it sure includes words. And in verse 17, we see, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, if we were to go back to verse 14, the preacher comes, shares truth, a truth message. It requires hearing. It requires somebody listening, contemplating, processing words that give the truth concepts, and then doing something with it. It's all about hearing before faith can ever be activated. There must be hearing of truth. This is why using words is necessary. People have to understand that the truth concept, how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And after hearing, we see in verse 14 again, is believing. How will they call on him and whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? This is where the rubber meets the road. This is contact point of salvation. Going back to verse 13, we have the calling. In verse 13, it says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Calling on the name of the Lord. How then shall we call on him if whom they have not believed? Well, there's always a moment at which a person that has true faith calls upon the Lord and invites Christ to come in and ask God to forgive them of their sins. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says to the church in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sit with them, have fellowship with them. Opening the door is calling on the name of the Lord, saying, God, save me. I personally want to receive Jesus as my Savior. That is calling his name. That is reaching your hand up. So it involves words. Whether we're at a pulpit, whether we're talking, we're speaking, whether it's what we're doing together, having coffee at work, whatever it is that you're doing, it involves some form of words. Something common that we say as we're departing for the day is, you know, good afternoon, good evening, have a good day. What about have a blessed day? You know, how do we communicate with others? Sometimes we have to be pulled out of our comfort zone, but are we listening for his voice when he knocks and we're calling him and inviting him in? That gives us the strength to share the gospel. And sharing the gospel is not just opening up the Bible and preaching. It's about hearing and doing and being part of a fellowship, being together with each other. And that's part of knowing God's word. Knowing what God is telling you, knowing what you're being instructed, that he is sending you out. Every day that you step out your door, God is allowing you that opportunity to step out that door with him.